Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Father. We do lift up Jamie and Tara, as Dustin did, and we just we place them in your arms, Father. As they walk through the sand, we know we won't see any footsteps because you're carrying them through it. And we just we lift them up, and we just pray that you just do a refreshing and infilling as they're drained and they're wearied, that you will just fill them up, Father, and refresh them. And just speak through me today. I'm just a conduit. I'm just up here. But this word is not my word. This word is your word. So we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. As Dustin said, I know a lot of you know me. Some of you don't. My name is Stephen Schwartz. I got that. Oh, they got it up there. They don't have to say it. Okay. I've been, you know, I'm an elder here, and it's just an honor and a pleasure to serve alongside great pastors and great men of God. Can we give it up for Dustin and the worship team? Get up for Dustin and the worship team. Can we get up for Jamie too? He's not here, but he can hear you. He's gonna listen to it, hopefully on Spotify. Give it up for our elders too. We have Scott Roberts, Trevor Bowman, Nate Geigley, and Rick Carter. I tell you what, these guys are awesome men of God. And I love them so much, and it is just it is an awesome honor to serve alongside them, because we, you know, as a team, with the pastors and the five lay elders, you know, we are your leadership team, but we love each other, and we love you guys. So thank you for being here today. I also serve on the security team, and I will be honest, when Jamie and Dustin called me and asked me to be on the leadership team for Restoration Church, I was in flux at the time, and I knew I was called beyond a shadow of a doubt. I knew my family was called, and I'm like, yes, Lord, that's what I'm called to. I'm called to the body of Christ of Restoration Church, and I'm excited to be a part of that. But when Mike Haas came up to me and said, you want to be a part of the security team, I wasn't so sure, I'll be honest with you. In fact, he was watching me, because we used to meet at Tony Scheidel's daycare, and we were meeting in a small room, and I sat in back, and I was kind of looking around, and he told me afterwards, you know, you're very observant. I want you to be on my team. I said, let me think about it. And he's like, so about 2 months go by, and he's still asking me, and you know, I don't know if you met Mike Haas. He's out in the hall. I don't know if he can hear me, but he's a bad dude. I mean, Green Beret, you know, Special Forces, you know, and I respect it. Thanks, Devin, for serving us. Thank you. I'll keep you in my prayers. Jumped out of planes, blowing up stuff. I didn't have the heart to tell him. I was sitting in the back of the room, probably because I have 7 kids, and I might have lost one of them. But that's okay. I don't think Mike heard me. Anyways, honestly, it is an honor to serve in both capacities here at Restoration Church, and a privilege that I don't take lightly. I love you guys, and it's definitely been, these last 3 years have been the most enjoyable years of my life, you know, in church life, because it's fun. Isn't it fun coming to church? I'm excited. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've never been this excited to come to church every single week. I don't want to miss a week. And if you do miss a week, go on Spotify, because I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday, they put it on Spotify. And you can listen to it, you know, if you miss a message, or if you want to listen to it again, there's a lot of great messages on there. But as Dustin said, he called me a couple days ago on a Thursday. Said, Steve, is God putting something on your heart? And I said, God's always putting something on my heart, good, bad, or indifferent, but yeah. And he says, 15, 20 minutes? I said, sure. When? He said, Sunday. I'm like, wait, what? So I asked him, I said, if I say no, is there a backup plan? He said, no. No pressure, Steve. No pressure. You know, can I do something? There's something I always want to do. Jamie does it. I'm not afraid of your faces. All right. Thank you for letting me do that. It felt pretty good. I don't know if it helped, but it felt pretty good. But even on short notice, I know this word's from God. There's no doubt, because I could not have done this on my own. And God put a word on me, and the title of the message is God's Faithfulness, Especially in Battle. And I asked Dustin, I said, usually, you know, if you do a closing song, you kind of tie in the message to the song. I said, are you doing a song at the end? He says, yeah. I said, do I have a choice? He says, no. I love you, brother.
So I said, could you send me the song? He said, yeah, I'll send you the song.
So I listened to the song. I listened to it over and over and over again, and there was just no doubt about God's faithfulness. God spoke very clear to me in my spirit about how faithful he's been to me all my life and through all my battles. And I started looking in the Bible. I'm like, okay, is there a story in the Bible that you want me to teach or portray to the body of Christ about God's faithfulness? And he brought up the name King Jehoshaphat. Now, I also heard King Jehoshaphat, but my wife's from Minnesota, and she said, no, we say Jehoshaphat. So that one kind of flows off the tongue better, so I'm going to use Jehoshaphat, not Jehoshaphat. So I don't know how you pronounce it. Maybe, hey, Jim Stuck, do you know how you pronounce it? I mean, I don't, not sure how you pronounce it, but King Jehoshaphat, well, he was the fourth king of Judah after the death of his father Asa. Asa was born of the son of Abijah, who was the son of Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, who was the son of David. Now, before King Jehoshaphat's reign, the kingdom was split in two. There was a reason why the kingdom was split in two. Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived on the earth, asked his advice from his elders because there was trouble in the land. People were upset because they weren't being treated very well. So the elders said, lighten up the load on the people, and they will serve you all the days of their lives. He said, well, that's cool. He left the elders of Solomon that were wise elders and advised his father, and he went to his bros. He said, hey, what should I do? His comrades, whatever you want to call them. And, or as my daughter, she says, hey, girl. And I'm like, I'm not your girl, but, you know, he said, so he went to, you know, went to his girls, his boys, whatever, and they gave him advice. He said, what do you guys think? What do you think I should do? And they said, you know what? You're bigger, badder than Solomon. Stick it to him. Be harsher on him. What do you think happened? Half the territory, half the kingdom rebelled. And at that point, then you had the territory in the kingdom of Israel, and you had the kingdom of Judah. So, looking in the Bible, Rehoboam was considered the first king of Judah after the split. And then his son, King Abijah, was the second king. King Asa was the third. And then Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of Judah. I want to really talk to you about Jehoshaphat and his father, King Asa. I want to highlight today how they both prepared for the largest battles of their life, because there is a stark difference between how they prepared and the outcomes. You can read about King Asa, his reign in 2 Chronicles 14 through 16. He started to weed out idolatry. He tore down sacred pillars. He removed high places and incense altars. He fortified Judah's cities. He fortified their army. He even expelled his mom from the royal court because she's worshiping an image called Asherah. He kicked her out, took the image, and then burned it. He was doing well in the sight of God. God was pleased, and he had peace for many years. Actually, for 35 years. But he became complacent. And I think he stopped looking towards God for his answers. Is that just me when you become complacent once in a while? Where, you know, we throw a prayer out there once in a while. We say, I go to church. I serve. And then we get, you know, we get on Netflix, or we get on our phones, or we get on TV, and we start conforming to the world a little bit instead of the Word. Our foundation becomes weakened at that point. And if a battle comes, are we going to be ready? Well, I tell you, King Asa was not ready. In his 36th year of reign, King Baasha, the king of Israel, came against Judah. Now you got to remember, they were split in two kingdoms. They didn't like each other very well. So Baasha fortified Ramah. Ramah, what it did, it was an area that prevented anyone from entering or leaving the territory of King Asa of Judah. He was trapped, pinned, kind of like pinned in a corner. Wouldn't you think if you're trapped or if you're pinned in a corner that you're going to get on your knees and call out, Abba, Father, help me? Help me with this battle? What do I do next? No, not Asa. Not King Asa. I think he was becoming fat, dumb, and happy. Instead of seeking God, coming out ready for battle, he devised another plan. Everybody got your Bibles today? Let's pick up our Bible. We'll start in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We'll start in verse 2. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord in the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelled in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me as there was between my father and your father. See, I've sent you silver and gold. Come break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he may withdraw from me. Ben-Hadad agreed. He said, yeah, I'll take your money. Sure. And attack some of the storage cities of Israel so Baasha could no longer build up and fortify the area around Ramah. Boy, Asa, yeah, he was stuck out his chest. Whoa, my plan worked. I didn't need God. I can do my own stuff. I can figure it out. There was only one problem. God was PO'd. He was upset. In fact, he was furious. It says, the word of the Lord rebuked him through Hanani, the seer, and told him he did not seek God and would be at war the rest of his life. Asa became PO'd. He's like, I don't like you anymore. I don't like the word you gave me. So he put Hanani in jail and tortured him. And then a little while later, his feet became diseased. Who do you think he sought? Did he seek God? No, he sought his own people for help. He didn't seek God for healing. You would think after 35 years of peace that God had given him and blessed him that he would seek God, but he forgot about God. There was no God in his life at that point. So what do you think happened next? He died. Tragic end. A tragic end to a king who started off so well. Complacency leads to neglect in one's spiritual life, which leads to stagnation and lack of vigilance. Do they have that up there? All right. I think it was better what you guys are saying right now, all right? Let me read that again. Complacency leads to neglect in one's spiritual life, which leads to stagnation and lack of vigilance. All right, that's better. All right, amen. What is vigilance? It can imply the readiness for danger and the need for constant awareness. You know what that tells me? Vigilance, that's the Holy Spirit within inside you, getting you ready for battle, giving you constant awareness, giving you insight, giving you everything you need to fight your battle. Oops, there goes my water. Proverbs 3:7 says, am I going too fast for you guys catching up? All right, we're good. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. King Asa probably should have read that scripture. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Come on, church, are you guys being vigilant today? Are you prayed up? Are you filled up with the Word of God? Are you ready to defeat your enemy? We've been talking about warfare this last few weeks, and it's been good. But we got to be ready. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Amen. You're right. There's two phrases that really stick out to me in that scripture. Submit to God, resist the devil. Conform to God, not conform to the world. And what happens when you conform to God and you don't conform to the world? He has to flee. That's what the Bible says. When we're in battle, he has to flee. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Victory. Now let's go to the story of King Jehoshaphat. I think this one you'll like a little better. It ends a lot better. King Jehoshaphat, he was the fourth king in the kingdom of Judah. You can read about his reign in 2 Chronicles 17 through 20. What I really want to focus about is what Jehoshaphat did, which is completely opposite and contrary to what his father Asa did, preparing for battle. 2 Chronicles 22. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon, Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. These were the people, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Munites, wanting to wage war against Judah. What do you think Jehoshaphat did? He didn't devise his own plan in his head and go to his neighbor and say, hey, can you help me? He immediately ran to the throne of God. Immediately. Postured himself in the throne of God and said, Abba, Father, I need your help. We're outnumbered. There's three of them. There's one of us. Their army is vast. They're going to destroy us. What do we do? 2 Chronicles 23 and 4 tells me what says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. In other words, get this picture in your mind. They fasted, got on their knees, and prayed as an entire nation in one accord. Every man, woman, and child were on their knees praying and fasting in one accord. Picture this. What does it say on your dollar? In God we trust. One nation under God. Just think about it. If our entire nation was on their knees in one accord, fasting and praying, what we could do with this nation, what God could do with us. I read that and it was just a beautiful word picture of what God was doing. When the body of Christ is in unity, on its knees, fasting and praying, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. Amen. It's a beautiful picture what God can do when we're on our knees and praying as the body of Christ. Because we are in unity, even at the top, we are a unified body. So let's continue to fast and pray for what God has for the body of Christ. The Lord answered King Jehoshaphat and all of Judea or Judah in 2 Chronicles 20:17. You will not need to fight this battle. He said, position yourselves, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go against them, for the Lord is with you. The very next morning, Dustin, you will love this. The very next morning, he went out and he appointed men to sing praises. They marched out in front of the army. They worshiped. They had the worship guys right in front. They're right in front, man. They sang Praise to the Lord, for his mercies endure forever. And they sang it over and over again. And as they were singing, as they were worshiping, 2 Chronicles 20:22 says, "Now when they began to sing and they began to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were all defeated." Hold on, hold on. There's more. That's not the amazing part of the story. They were defeated. The amazing part of the story is they didn't even lift a sword. They were just laughing, giggling, worshiping God, and marching down. They had no idea what was going on around them. And they came up to a field. And all they saw when they looked over the valley was dead bodies everywhere. The Bible says that not one person was left alive. They had not only fought each other, but they were fighting not only all the other tribes there, but they were fighting each other. They're all gone. They killed each other. Nobody was left. And they looked down and they're like, "Oh, that's a nice ring. Oh, it's a nice watch. Some nice glasses you got there, buddy." They're dead. So what'd they do? They're like, "Shoot, they got jewelry and all these valuables. You know how long it took? It took them 3 days to gather all the spoils off the dead people." So not only did God defeat their enemies, he gave them all the spoils. And they didn't have to do anything. Not a thing. Isn't that an awesome picture? Can you imagine? Yes, go ahead, let's clap. All right. Can you imagine if all you had to do was seek God, fast, pray, trust in his faithfulness, and worship and praise him, and your enemies annihilated? Amen. He just gave us the map on how to defeat our enemy. Amen. We just got the map. I want to end with, it says I have 12 minutes left, so I guess I'll use the whole 12 minutes. I'm going to abbreviate my testimony. My kids are here. They've heard some of my testimony, not all of it, so I'm not going to go into complete detail. And some of us heard of it, but I don't know if a lot of you have heard my testimony. But I know this is true, that this map works, because it's worked in my life. As a young man, I grew up in church. I knew God. I knew about God. I got saved at 5, I think. I just didn't have a real strong relationship with God. And I started to run. And at the age of 24, I ended up divorced and a single dad. I had joint custody. I had him every other day and every other weekend. So I was a great dad every other day and every other weekend. But there was every other day and every other weekend that I was a bad boy. I was living two lives. And I was spiraling down a bad path pretty quick. I was trying everything the world had to offer. I didn't have God, so I wanted to fill it with somebody else. And you know what that is? You got a God-shaped hole, your heart. And if you don't have God, what do? You just try to fill it with everything else. I was trying everything. I was trying everything out there. I didn't care about myself. I cared about my son. I didn't care about who I was with. I didn't care about my friend. I mean, I was not an... I look back and it's like, I didn't feel like I was a very nice person back then. And then I spiraled down, crashed, burned, hit rock bottom. Rock bottom was when I was in the drunk tank for the second time. And it hit me. It hit me. When you're in the drunk tank, they put you in there for 8 hours. And it's cold, and it's dark, and they have a whole cold concrete floor. So I got on my knees. And I said, Abba, Father. I didn't care who heard me, the jailers. I didn't really care at that point. If this is what the world has to offer, I've tasted it all. I no longer want what the world has to offer. I want what you'd have to offer. I said, God, I've lived my life for me and my pleasures. And if this is where it got me, if this is where I ended up penniless in the drunk tank for the second time, if this is where the world gets me, I don't want it anymore. I want what you have. I said, God, I give my life to you for the rest of my life. If you'll take me, I will serve you the rest of my life. My life is your life. I never looked back. I never wanted to turn back to that old lifestyle because I knew once I had a piece of God, I never wanted to go back. You know, when I got a piece of God, He started to restore everything back to me that Satan had taken from me. Everything. 100-fold. And as I begin to dig in His Word, I'm following the map. Fast. Pray. Worship. Praise Him. I'd be on my floor just crying out to God. Believing in His faithfulness. He returned everything back to me. He gave me a beautiful wife. We're going to celebrate 25 years in October. Yes! God have mercy. She's a saint. She put up with me 25 years. Anybody puts up with me 25 years. I've got 7 wonderful kids. And I've got more spoils than I can contain. God's given it all back to me. Because I followed the map. I don't know what everyone here is battling. I do know God knows every battle. And He is here to fight for you because He is faithful and His mercies endure forever. Psalms 55:18 says, He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. What does your battle preparation look like today? Does it include seeking the Lord through the reading and devouring of His Word? Does it include fasting and praying? Does it include praise and worship? For His mercies endure forever. If not, maybe there's time. Maybe today is time to make some changes in your battle plan. Maybe it's time to make some changes in your battle plan. Do you want to receive salvation today? With every head bowed. Want to turn to face the battle and know God's faithfulness? If you want to, raise your hand. Raise your hand today if you want to receive His salvation. And everybody, let's repeat after me this prayer. Heavenly Father, I believe You are the Son of God. And died on the cross for my sins. And I want You to come in my heart today. So I may win my battles against the evil one. And see Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your mercies that endure forever.